Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Let's move to Portugal. Hi, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Rebecca. Today, we are on day two of our February travel article, and we are talking about the country of Portugal, a country that perhaps in the past has been overlooked as a travel destination, as an immigration destination, but it's become very hot in terms of very, very, very popular. Lots of people are traveling to Portugal, and a lot of people are settling in Portugal these days. I'd like to welcome Linda back to the program.
Hi, Rebecca. Thank you. It is great to be back.
Linda, it's great to have you on the program. Now, yesterday we talked about the large number of transplants or people that relocate, people who have moved from their home country to Portugal. There has been an influx or a huge spike of transplants to Portugal. And out of this segment, of course, there are people of all ages, but there is these days a growing segment of Americans who want to retire abroad. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. And Linda, I want to ask you, I know we are still far from retirement. We're not at the stage where we can retire just yet. We still have many more years of working. But have you ever thought, if you are going to retire abroad in a country that's not your own, what country would you consider retiring to, and what are the key factors that you would consider for this destination?
Well, the factors that I would consider is climate.
Yes.
I would like to move to somewhere that has more of a tropical climate, so year-round sunshine or year-round warm temperatures, no harsh winter, preferably not a hot summer either, but moderate temperature all year round. And the other thing I would look at is cost of living, low cost of living, because in retirement, I'd be on a fixed budget. So I'd want my money to go further. So a place that has low cost of living, also a place that is relax, that has a slower pace of life, that isn't hurried because I'll be retired, I don't need to work, so I don't want this busy environment. It's somewhere I can be relaxed and enjoy my golden years, yeah. And someplace I think would be a really great place to retire is Costa Rica, although I haven't been there yet, but all of the things that I've heard make it sound like an ideal place to retire. Like it fits all those factors. Like it checks those factors that I mentioned.
It checks all the boxes. Yes, that sounds good. And one more thing I would add is also language. I want to be able to speak the local language.
That is true. Although it gives you an opportunity to learn a new language if like you don't know it. But yes, being able to communicate in English or at least a language that I already know.
Right. That would be very, very helpful because I don't want to have to navigate everything without being able to speak properly.
That's true.
I think that would be really hard. In the places I've traveled to where I didn't speak the local language, I think I could last for a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But after a couple weeks, I think I would really need to be in a country where I could speak the language properly.
Okay.
Yes. But you're right. We can learn at every age, right? That's what Doris always taught us. We always need to adopt an attitude of lifelong learning. And we can learn languages at any age if we're motivated.
That's true.
Yes. And if you put yourself in a country where you have to speak the language, that's called immersion, that's the fastest way to learn anyway.
Mm-hmm, because you have to.
Because you have to. Yes. On that note, let's get into today's article. And we're heading back to Portugal. And we will continue to talk about some of the attractions of Portugal. Let's get into our first reading for today.
There are 17 UNESCO World Heritage Sites in Portugal, more per acre than in the UK or France. One of them is the historic center of Guimarães, a town a few miles north of Porto. I took a walking tour there. It was a feast for the eyes. Red-tiled roofs, streets, and sidewalks paved with tiles. Narrow, winding streets lined with tile-clad houses spanning an age from medieval times to the 19th century, with those cute little trams dating from the 1930s rattling and squealing past. I visited some churches and cathedrals, of which Portugal has many. Braga Cathedral was started in the 12th century. I was surprised to see so few visitors inside. A mixed blessing. And that's the other thing about Portugal. It's not over-touristed compared to much of Europe these days. That said, the very things that make Portugal so attractive to outsiders is making living there more difficult for the Portuguese. The influx of tourists and people seeking residency is driving up housing costs and changing the nature of neighborhoods, in Lisbon especially, as apartments are turned into short-term Airbnb rentals.
Well, we learn another fact about Portugal. There are 17 UNESCO World Heritage Sites in Portugal. So the UNESCO World Heritage Sites are these really incredible sites around the world, like, for example, the Taj Mahal in India or Angkor Wat in Cambodia. Some of these really, really incredible things that the United Nations has decided they are worthy to be protected, mm-hmm. worthy to be preserved. And Portugal has 17 of them in their country. And here it says more per acre than the UK or France.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's amazing. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Another good reason to go to Portugal. And then we go to one of these sites. And where is this?
This is the historic center of Guimarães. And it's a town a few miles north of Porto. That is where port wine comes from. And you can take a walking tour there. And it is described as a feast for the eyes. And if something is a feast for the eyes, it means that you are just eating up all of the things that you see. Like, it is wonderful. It's made of all of these beautiful, wonderful sights that are visually attractive and pleasing.
Yes, and some of these visually attractive things you will see is red-tiled roofs, and streets and sidewalks paved with tiles.
Mm.
So this is kind of like a classical old European city.
Yes, yes. Because I know in Spain they also do that. Like red tile roofs are also popular. But it's really good to know that it exists in Portugal as well. And it just gives it a different feel when you are walking on sidewalks paved with tile. Like it does give you that old European like town feel.
Yes. And here it goes on to describe, it's a really beautiful description. We have narrow winding streets and they're lined of tile-clad houses. So tile-clad just means there's like the side of the building or the roof of the building, it's all tile. And they span a long time.
Mm-hmm.
To have a span, spanning just means the time it covers.
Right, covering
the period of time it covers. It goes all the way from medieval times. Medieval times would be what, the 1200s, the 1300s?
Mm-hmm. Probably starting around the 12th century.
Yes, and then all these, the architecture spans from the medieval times all the way to the 19th century. And then there's other things that tourists might love, like trams. Linda, have you ever been on a tram?
I have, actually. I can't remember exactly where, but I have been on a tram, a street tram. And it's fun because it's slow moving. It's moving at a pace faster than you would walk or run, but it allows you to see the city.
Yes.
on this. And it's usually doesn't have any windows or glass, so it's kind of open air in a sense.
Yes.
It does have a roof, but yeah, there's less barrier between you and the outside environment.
Yes, and trams usually, they run on railway tracks. They run on, well, they're not railway tracks, they're tracks.
Mm-hmm.
They run on tracks on the pavement, and usually there's some kind of electric wires.
Mm-hmm.
There's electric wires on the top that links the tram, because the trams are, I think they're powered by electricity,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are trams in our part of the world. I think of the ding-dings. I call them the ding-dings. The ding-dings in Hong Kong. There's the ding-dings that run on, they run on the Hong Kong Island side. And you can take the ding-ding and it just slowly works its way down the street. And it's just so interesting because in Hong Kong, everything is so fast. But the ding-ding, they have their own, you know, it's old world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it goes ding-ding-ding and then you hear the ding-ding coming. I call them the ding-ding because ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding.
Yeah.
And the ding-ding trams, it takes you back like 100 years.
Yeah. It just makes you go at a slower pace.
Yes.
Like
but it's fun. As a tourist, it's a lot of fun. So there's trams also in this place in Portugal. And these trams are old. They date back to the 1930s. And then they're rattling and squealing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this word sometimes we see in novels.
Yes,
to squeal.
So a person or an animal can squeal, make a loud, high-pitched sound or cry. But we see here objects can do that as well. So the wheels going on the tracks will make a high-pitched sound. And here we use the term squealing to describe it.
Yes, and when the wheels squeal, it's time to get oiled. We go on to say in this town, he visits some churches and cathedrals. Linda, usually we think of cathedrals as those great churches,
mm-hmm.
usually Catholic churches. They're beautiful. They're hundreds of years old.
Mm-hmm.
What is the definition of cathedral?
So it's the main church of a particular area under the control of a bishop. And there are bishops in the Catholic Church, also bishops in Protestant churches. So a cathedral could be for a Catholic church or a Protestant church. So we're not specifying. But usually in Portugal, I think it would be Catholic, like Spain. It's it's predominantly Catholic.
Yes. So you might have many churches spread out all around the city, but the cathedral is usually the most fancy one,
mm-hmm.
like because that's the one where the bishop in the old days, that's where the bishop presides over.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the most fancy one. So we can just kind of jog our memory, like if you've been to Italy, or you've been to like many, many different countries all around Europe, or Germany, or like in usually, for example, when we, for example, you go to Italy, you go to Milan, then you have the Duomo. The Duomo is that the main
mm-hmm.
cathedral in Milan, although there's many, many other churches. And if, for example, you go just many, many of these cities, like when you think of London, for example, there's
mm-hmm.
also
St. Paul's
mm-hmm. Cathedral, right? Like there's many beautiful churches okay. around the city, but there's one or two that are like the biggest ones, the main ones.
Right. And a lot of money and effort was poured into making this cathedral beautiful.
Yes.
So the exterior and the interior will be beautifully designed and have, say, inside, cathedrals are known for stained glass windows.
Yes.
That's where you'll find them. And so much, like, great artists were commissioned to do the interior,
yes.
decor of the cathedral. So they are very beautifully done.
Yes. And they're often, it took, like, a lot of these take decades and decades to build, sometimes even over 100 years, like, even more for some of these cathedrals. Like, they spend a lot of time and money to make them extremely beautiful. So, yes. A cathedral, like our definition here says, it's kind of like the main church in that town or city. And then so the cathedrals here, Portugal has many, and then they give one example. They have one called Braga Cathedral, and it was started in the 12th century. This is built early in the 1100s.
Mm-hmm.
And here it says, there was not too many visitors inside. So here's another advantage of traveling to Portugal compared to some other places in Europe. It's not as over-touristed.
Right. It isn't crawling with tourists like some places in Europe, like Spain and Italy and Venice.
Yes, I think of Venice.
It's just so many tourists everywhere.
Yes, I try to avoid going to those countries in July and August, especially in peak summer season. Because if you go in July and August to a city like Venice, it's just
overrun
with tourists. There's just so many tourists like everywhere. Like I could imagine it's really terrible for the locals.
Yeah. If I were a local there, I would not like it.
Yeah. So in recent years now, there's more and more cities and even in some instances, countries that actually have a head tax for tourists. Like if you go to Venice, like then you have to pay a head tax of how many dollars per day, you know, because they're just too many. They're trying to
lower the
number of tourists going to some of these places.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's another reason that makes Portugal quite attractive because it's not over-touristed. But now we're talking about the other side, right? We've been focused so much on the advantages of us who are travelers or people who want to move to Portugal. Let's talk about the locals. And is living for the locals, is it getting better?
It doesn't sound like it because we learn that the influx of tourists and people seeking residence is driving up the housing costs and also changing the nature of the neighborhoods, which is just something that happens naturally when you have an influx or an arrival of a large group of people from outside of this area. It's going to change the nature of the neighborhood and it's going to increase housing costs. And this is happening especially in Lisbon, the capital, where apartments are being turned into short-term Airbnb rentals. Yeah. And it's profitable, but it affects the housing costs, and that is a negative thing for the locals. It just makes housing more expensive.
Yes, housing gets more expensive.
And less. Like there's
less
could be
options.
A shortage, yeah, of housing could create that.
Yeah. So then for every pro, there's usually a con somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I think these are like complex issues that cities and countries have to navigate as they get influxes, whether from tourists or from a spike of people moving to the country. So these are some of the attractions of Portugal. Now we are going to move into our last section and we will talk a little bit more about VFR travel.
The importance of VFR travel. That night, I had dinner with John. As in Spain, people eat late here. We reminisced. After 50 years, our memories had faded, but by combining what I remembered with what John remembered, we were able to piece something together. At the end of the meal, the proprietor shook our hands and thanked us for coming. The damage came to $22 per person, including tax and service. Time goes faster and faster as we get older, and sometimes we put off reconnecting with friends and family too long. It felt really good to see some people who meant something to me. Still, as much as I admire the advantages of living in Portugal, I will not be moving there. Not yet, anyway. But I will be making an effort to do more VFR travel. For me, it's the best reason to leave home.
Well, we continue our journey with the author, and that night he had dinner with one of his friends who live in Portugal, John. And here it says, as in Spain, people eat late. Yeah, that's always interested mm-hmm. me.
Because they have siesta during the afternoon. So they take their afternoon nap or midday nap, and that will make their hours later. So they'll end work later, therefore have supper much later. And it can be as late as 10 p.m. Yeah. That's a really late dinner, but that's just the custom. So there are also a lot of similarities between Portugal and Spain. Like we mentioned earlier, the food is good. It's similar to yes. Spain, because I think yes. I'm more familiar with Spanish food. Also, we mentioned the language, although it's not the same. Like, there's overlap. You can mutually understand each other, a Spanish speaker and a Portuguese speaker. But yeah, there is a lot of similarities. So, like in Spain, they eat late, and over this late dinner, the author reminisced. Mm. They talked about things that have happened in the past in a positive light. When you reminisce, you remember those past memories fondly.
Yes. And this is a lot reminisced here. Like, when you think of the word, I often think of older people, because older people reminisce more.
Yeah, well, they have a lot more to reminisce on. They've lived longer. I think we can reminisce at any point after childhood, I think. Like, I can reminisce about, you know, childhood. It was, yeah.
Yes. And then here it says, after 50 years, their memories had faded. So these people are probably in their 60s or 70s. But by combining what I remembered with what John remembered, we were able to piece something together. They pool their memories
yes,
together.
Yes, that's another thing. As you get older, it's harder to remember. you lose some of those details.
That's true. But sometimes it's a good thing, right? Because we can forget all the bad stuff that happened
that's
to
true.
Us too, right?
That's why it's reminiscing is more pleasant as you get older, because you can't remember all the other bad stuff. You just remember the good stuff.
Yes, remember the good stuff. And then at the end of the meal, here we have an interesting word, the proprietor. The proprietor. Why don't we just say the owner?
Well, it's a term that we use when referring to business. So
okay.
It's the owner of the business.
Okay.
I mean, we could say owner, but it's another word to mean the owner of the business.
Okay. So the owner of the restaurant, the proprietor, shook our hands and thanked us for coming. And then here we have an interesting word. We have the damage came to $22 per person. Damage. Mm. Why use damage?
We often use that. That's more of like a spoken thing, a colloquial thing that we say to mean how much something cost. Okay, what was the damage? You know, how much did it cost? Yeah. So, and here it's not too bad. They had this full meal. They were probably there for hours reminiscing, and it only came to $22 per person. And that's including tax and service and tip, I suppose, too. Or here, they probably tip isn't a big thing like it is in the U.S. Like, everything's included in that price.
Yeah. So the damage here, like Linda said, this is kind of like a fun way to say how much something costs. The damage came to $22 per person. That's actually a really good deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Really good deal. Like you said, it's probably a full 5-course meal. Like, they've had a lot of food and the service is great for $22. And then we talk about when people get into older age, they reminisce a lot. And then the author also talks about time going faster.
Yeah, yeah. I have experienced that. As I've gotten older, it seems the years go by faster and faster, much faster than when I was a kid. It seemed like the year would just drag. Even the summer, it would just drag. It would take forever for summer to be over. And then now, one year has already gone, like, just like that, or it's already half a year. So I can totally understand that.
Yes. And then the author reminds us sometimes we put off, or we just put for a later day, reconnecting with friends and family, right? Because, like, life gets busy, we get busy. Many of us work very busy jobs, so we just put things off. Mm-hmm. We think that we'll have lots of time.
Yeah,
but
it's easy to procrastinate.
Yes,
stuff.
Even for visiting our friends and relatives. So here he's reminding us that we can't sometimes put things off. We just got to go and
mm-hmm.
do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, so is the author going to move to Portugal after, you know, eating the good Portuguese
yeah.
food and
drinking
enjoying
the
sunshine
yeah.
and all that, those port wine? Is he going to move?
Not right now. There might be a possibility in the future, but he's not moving there as of this moment. But he will be making an effort to do more VFR travel, to go visit friends and relatives more, to not put that off.
Yes, but he does plan to do more VFR travel. And he ends the article by saying, it's the best reason to leave home.
Yeah, so. I agree with that more now because I'm not so motivated to travel for adventure anymore, but I'm more motivated to go visit friends and relatives. Yeah. So that's a bigger motivation to travel as I've gotten older.
Yes. It's interesting. Like in different life seasons, the reasons we do things change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just part of
life. Yeah.
Our circle of life. Like we grow and then the reasons we do things change. Our priorities change.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, our priorities change. And as this writer who is in his 60s or 70s reminds us, as we get older, that we really have to put more of an effort to reconnect and connect with our loved ones.
Yeah.
And let them know we love them.
Yeah.
And don't put it off because we don't know what tomorrow holds, mm-hmm. right? We can always have another bout of COVID or, you know, like there could be major changes in our own lives or in the world that
prevent us,
that we won't be able to do some of the things that we really want to. So
do it while you can.
Do it while we can. And I actually want to end with a slogan. This kind of like something that people tell you when you're in college, when you're starting college, it's YOLO.
Mm-hmm. You only live once.
You only live once. YOLO. You only live once. So we got to make the most of the time we have.
Of this one life, yes.
Of this one life. And hopefully in our travel plans, we also make more effort to travel to where the people we love are.
Yes.
Yes. And that brings us to the end of our article today. I hope you've enjoyed it. It's given us a little more understanding of Portugal. And I will put Portugal on my list of places to go. Not for VFR. I don't know anybody yet in Portugal. But I want to go to Portugal to explore this beautiful country.
Mm.
And on that note, I'm Rebecca.
I'm Linda.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.